All right, Hebrews 3 and 4 this evening. Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. No real sermon, just some thoughts, some ideas from these verses, studying our Bible together in the middle of the week. Hebrews 3 and 4. We have moved from the superiority of Christ over angels to the superiority of Christ over Abraham, the superiority of Christ over Moses, and we move in chapter 4, the superiority of Christ over Joshua. He is superior to all. And if it seems in the last week or two, and maybe another week yet to come, that we're kind of bogged down in chapter 4, I am bogging us down in chapter 4 because I am weary of preaching and commentaries and books leading Christians to fear for the salvation of their souls because of a misreading of the book of Hebrews. And when you pull verses out of Hebrews and stand them up by themselves, they seem to be threatening save people with the loss of their salvation. When you read the book from start to finish, salvation and heaven are not in view. Sanctification and a victorious life are in view, and the Lord is afraid that saved people and is angry about saved people coming short of the sanctified victorious life. And while Christians are being taught to sit and live in fear of losing their salvation, what they're losing is the opportunity to do something for God with their lives. Yeah. And if you can't get salvation settled, we had a man here for years, and if I even start to tell this tale, you know who I'm talking about. But he would get saved, and the enthusiasm and the excitement of that would carry him for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and then he would fall back into sin, deep sin. And then he'd come and quote unquote get saved. And you know something, he got saved as a youth. He just thought his problem was he got saved and lost it and got saved and lost it. The problem was he got saved and never lived it. That was his problem. And he kept trying to go back and get something he already had instead of going on and getting what God wanted him to have. And so we want you to know that you're saved. Salvation's by grace through faith, it's not by works. And if it's not by works before you get saved, it's not by works after you get saved. But there are some things that require something on our part. And that is going on into what we call the land of Canaan. Lord willing, on Sunday night, we'll discuss the false idea. This one doesn't come so much from sermons as it comes from songs. To Canaan land, I'm on my way where the soul never dies. If you make Canaan heaven, who are the giants there? Who are the enemy armies there? What are the walled cities there you've got to fight against? So we've got to deal with that idea as well. Anyway, Father, bless your word tonight. Please help me to speak the truth in love and be clear in my thoughts and we can accomplish something for you tonight. In Jesus' name, and amen. All right, so verse number 16 for some, chapter 3, verse 16. Some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved? 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Well, they're already saved. They're already redeemed. They're already out of bondage by the blood of a lamb. But unbelief keeps them from going into the land of promise, as we have said many times. And what's the problem? It's not that they didn't know. Verse 16, for some, when they had heard. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but hearing the word of God doesn't guarantee faith.
Yeah, right.
You can sit here for 20 years and not believe anything you hear. You can even learn what you hear and repeat what you hear and pass on what you hear. But if it's not mixed with faith, well, keep reading. Verse number 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See it again? They heard the word of God. And it was as if they didn't hear the word of God. They were taught the truths of Scripture. And yet it was as though they had never been taught the word of truth from Scripture. Why? Because when they heard, they didn't mix what they heard with faith in their heart, and it didn't profit them. It amounted to nothing. Now, it's important to be in church all the time. It's important to be in church all the time. So believers can prop up unbelievers. And the strong can prop up the weak, and that's not an insult, that's a fact. Yeah. Brother Gary ministered in the prison, and you men that minister down at the rescue mission, the best thing some of those men could do is turn down parole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because they have a support system to prop them up where they're in church services singing and reading their Bible and memorizing Scripture and quoting a book they don't really believe for themselves, but they're carried on by the belief of others. And I'm not finding fault with that. What I'm telling you is mother and father and youth program and church can carry you along so far. And then one day you get a job, and one day you get an apartment, and one day you get your own car, and one day you get your own money, and we find out that without the props, you didn't have any faith in what you heard. And because of your unbelief, all those years of church didn't profit you. And so what the Lord is stating here, going to verse number 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So I'm not being repetitious. The Lord's being repetitious. Enter into rest, enter into rest, enter into rest, enter into rest. This has been the objective since before the foundation of the world, that you should rest as God rested. And getting saved, praise the Lord, will get you to heaven when you die. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But you might find out real quickly, it didn't end the turmoil in your home. It didn't end the upheaval in your relationships. It didn't calm the troubled waters of your soul. It didn't bring peace to your divided, distracted mind. What's the Lord saying? Okay, you trusted me to save your soul. You punched your ticket to heaven when your life is over. What about your life?
Yeah.
What about the rest of your life? Do you want to continue living the disaster that you have lived up until you met Christ? So the children of Israel, they're out of Egypt. What do they want? They want to be out of Egypt with the leeks and the onions. They're out of Egypt. What do they want? They want the gods of Egypt that they snuck out under their robes and in their luggage. You realize when they get to the very end of the book of Joshua, This is 40, 50, 60, this is decades after they've departed from Egypt. Joshua says, you can't serve the Lord until you get rid of those idols that you brought with you from the other side of the flood. So there's redemption, praise the Lord. There's salvation, hallelujah. There's a home in heaven, glory to God. But what about your home now? Well, one day, you know, I'll be with Jesus, and then I'll have peace in my heart and joy in my soul and a song on my lips, and everything will be great. So you just resign to everything being rotten until then? And you know what the Lord uses? He uses the term grief, but then the next word is wrath. It provokes the Lord to a serious level of anger. That I want to go to heaven when I die, but I don't want to walk with him now. It upsets him. It angers him. And so the Bible says in verse number 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and that's Joshua, you don't need to change the Bible, but it's the New Testament spelling of the Old Testament man. If Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest. You see how many times God keeps saying this over and over again? Rest, rest. Rest, but the government. Rest, but the economy. Rest, but my neighbor. Rest, but the taxes. Rest, but the price of. Rest, but the doctor.
Yes, sir.
If I could just get to heaven, I could have a little rest in my heart. And the Lord said, I came down in the person of the Holy Ghost to live inside you. Could that possibly have some influence over your conduct? Now, here's what we've got to remember, and it's pretty cool to think about. Jewish history not only contained prophecy, it is prophecy. And we saw that Sunday morning with the Passover, the Exodus and the Passover and the wilderness and the Jordan River and the Promised Land, and we laid all that out. But look at this. So God promises rest to his people when they come out of Egypt. And all those years later, he says, follow Joshua, and you can have rest. Well, they've crossed the Jordan River, they marched around Jericho, the walls fell down, they took a good portion of the land, they established themselves in Canaan. And then, centuries later, God tells David to write a psalm and say, you know, that rest is still available if you ever want it. Because they got land and they built houses and they established a sanctuary, a tabernacle worship, and later they would build a temple, and they got all this stuff. Have you read Judges? Doesn't sound like rest. Have you read Kings and Chronicles? Doesn't sound like rest. Have you read what the prophets had to preach to them in the streets of Jerusalem? It doesn't sound like rest. And so God says to those Hebrews, way back there, when you're standing and looking at the Jordan River, I said, you can have the land. Do you want rest? And they wanted the land, but they didn't want the rest. And all the way fast forward to David sitting as king on a throne, and God says, do you want rest? And they wanted a great big temple and their enemies subject unto them and low taxation and longevity, but they didn't want rest. And another several centuries later, the Holy Spirit makes one more run at the Hebrews and says, anybody want rest? I've had it from the foundation of the world. And every time I offer you good crops, you jump at it. Every time I offer you freedom from disease and sickness, you jump at it. Every time I offer you enemies laying down their arms and you living in peace, you jump at it. But when I say, how about holiness? How about righteousness? How about walk before me in truth? No, I don't think so. We're good. We're saved. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got all from God I want, unless he's got some material things. Now, if you don't believe that's the problem, you look at the last 10 years in the United States of America and ask yourself how many people would be saved if the Christians in America had been as earnestly devoted to Jesus Christ as they have been to Donald Trump. You can't get them to put a Bible verse on their car. They'll put a Trump sticker on their car. You can't get them to wave the banner of the cross. They'll wave a Trump sign. You can't get them to go street preaching. They'll go to a Trump rally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not speaking for or against Donald Trump. I'm telling you, Christians in America want God to make them wealthier and safer and happier But they don't want to go to a church that preaches right living from the Word of God. And if you offer that to them, you know what they say? I'm saved. I'm saved. Well, how's your home? How are your kids? How's your marriage? How's your mind? How's your heart? It's all as big a disaster as lost people's. Now let's just mark the spot. Come to Psalm 95. Psalm number 95. Psalm 95. I know how to build a big church. I'm just not capable of doing it. Offer people salvation for now and heaven for later and ignore the rest of it. So, Brother James, how can you be against these big mega churches? People are getting saved there. They are getting saved. I believe they are getting saved there. I do, and I thank God they're getting saved. And then they're living just like they were without Jesus Christ until He comes and takes them home to heaven.
Yeah.
And it grieves the Lord and it angers the Lord. And then you try and build something where you get people saved, you give them a blessed hope, and try to teach them how to live right in the meantime. And you just, you know, you hover around a couple of hundred and some people fall away and some new people come and some people fall away and some new people come. And you can't really ever get anywhere because people don't want the rest. They want the stuff. They don't want the rest. All right, Psalm 95. Now, what you say, I don't understand that word wrath in there. How could God be provoked to wrath by saved people? Well, watch this. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I like that. How about you? Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That's great. Every saved person can get with that. Sing, praise, worship, thank the Lord. With or without a band, with or without girls in skinny jeans, we can all get with it. You pick your music, we'll pick our music, we'll argue about it online. But let's all go and worship and praise God because He is the great God and He saved our souls and He's deserving of it. And then right in the middle of the verse, God says to David, we still got something to settle here. And it's been lingering since we left Egypt. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Okay, so preacher, I'm not following you. Okay, let me break it down. Verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. That was a great song service. Now open your Bible and let's have a sermon on cussing. Well, I don't think that's really in the Bible. I don't think you really have to do that. So I will praise God for saving me and then I'll harden my heart against His Word. And I sound like a freak to save people because preachers all across America have surrendered living together, fornication, lying, not working, stealing. Verse 2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Hallelujah. That was a lovely song by the choir. Now let's open our Bible and turn to this passage over here about not paying your debts.
Well, I don't want to hear that. That's not, I don't. I just came here to worship the Lord. I mean, there you are getting there.
Yeah, right.
And you know what the Lord said? You people are wearing me out. Because I did save you and I did give you eternal life. And you trust me to take your soul all the way to heaven when you die. But you won't trust me to tell you how to conduct yourself when you get up in the morning. And it's not that people don't know. It's that when they hear, they harden their heart and say, I'm not going back to that church. I'm not listening to that preaching anymore. It's legalistic. It's judgmental. It's dogmatic. I just think as long as you love the Lord, that's all that matters. Well, you're wrong. I didn't say you weren't saved.
Right.
I didn't even say you didn't love the Lord. I didn't even say you didn't have some really cool Christian music in your car. But when God asks you to do something you don't want to do, you don't run to an altar. You run to a chat group. And you don't run to the Holy Ghost for help like Hebrews 4 says to do. You run to people as rebellious as you are to reinforce your excuses. That's what's killing us.
Oh, you know, these Democrats and these liberals, that they haven't hurt the church.
It's people who go to church who think like they do that's hurt the church. Well, you know, these, as long as we're conservative. Like what, father and 14 kids out of wedlock? That's conservative? I Musk can get it down where I don't have to pay any taxes at all. I wouldn't let him teach a nursery class in our church. In fact, I might just sit him on the bench outside there and say, we're going to deal with your soul before I even let you walk in here. Well, now, why would a Christian defend a man who keeps producing illegitimate children when God has that at the near the top of his list of things that anger him?
Yeah,
and Christians defend it because he's on their political side.
Yeah.
The Lord says, I'm really tired of that. It grieved me for a while. Now it just provokes me to wrath. But Christians think, America's saved now. Well, is that what you want? Because God wants your neighbors saved. Well, Brother James, you want it the other way? No, I don't. But if I go downtown to preach, I'm not going to preach vote this way. I'm going to preach Christ. And if somebody says, don't you think so-and-so is a great guy? I'm going to say, I might agree with his policies because they line up with the Constitution, but he's not a great guy. He's a reprobate. So I'm in the eating yesterday with the Harrises, and I looked over, and at the table, there's a T-shirt. Back of the T-shirt has a Bible verse on it. Praise the Lord. And I said, you know, that when that person gets up, I'm going to speak a word and say something and like the shirt. And when the person got up and turned around, it was an escapee from National Geographic magazine circa 1965. Now, see, here's the problem you're going to have with me, and this is the problem you have. I don't know why we don't have more people in this church. I'm going to show you why we don't have more people in this church. If you love the Lord, get the shrapnel out of your face, button up your blouse, and act like a Christian. Stop asking churches and preachers to go along with your desire to live like the world as long as you're going to heaven when you die. Lord's tired of it. And the problem you have as your kids get older is their pastor is preaching against stuff all their Christian friends do with the support of their youth leader. Makes it tough. All right, where are we? Psalm 95, verse number 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved for this generation, and said it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So, They're acknowledging he's the king above all gods. They are testifying they believe in creation. And when they assemble for worship, they worship the Lord from their heart and say very good things about him. And he said, but I can't get you where I want to take you. Because when you hear my word, you don't believe it. You harden your heart. You won't mix the word of God with faith. And it's unprofitable to you.
Amen.
You know, this is a sad fact, but it's a fact. Well, as of 4 years ago, I don't know what it is now. 4 years ago, United States of America, the divorce rate among people who profess to be born again was higher than the divorce rate among those who didn't profess to be born again. You know what that is? It's an abomination to God.
Yeah, read it. Preach.
And if you ask those people, why are you doing that? They'd say, well, I love the Lord.
Preach.
But do you believe his word?
Oh.
I go to church. Yes, but where's your mind when the Bible's being preached? You can't be hearing it. I'm so tired of saved people arguing with me about it being okay to drink. Why are you so fervent in your defense of alcohol? And when you hear people on your job make fun of Jesus Christ, you won't defend him. You'll defend your beer to a Christian, but you won't defend your Savior to a lost man. You know what the Lord says? I about had enough of that. It provokes him to wrath, and he says, I can't take you where I want to take you. But Lord, we're praising you. You ought to read Malachi. They're coming to the temple and bringing offerings. And by the end of the Old Testament, the Lord says, I'm so fed up with this, I'm going to spread dung on your faces. You guys are going to look that up. I know that. You're going to find that verse. They bring God a sacrifice, and he takes the garbage from the slaughterhouse where they were preparing the sacrifices and just gets a handful of it, just puts it right in their face and rubs it in. And you know what they're doing? They're coming to the house of the Lord and offering sacrifices. Now, this can't possibly be about losing your salvation. Or every one of these people would have lost it. Not these people. Every one of us would have lost it. What we're losing is another day, another week, another month, another year of life that could be profitable. But instead it's unprofitable because, well, come back to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And thank you for being a church where I can preach this and know I'll see you again on Sunday morning. No, I'm serious. I mean that. I really do. Yeah. But so many of you come and I don't tell tales. I don't tell tales. I don't spread stories. We don't talk about anything unless it gets to the point where we have to. And you know that. But you come and you say, preacher, where's so-and-so? How come so-and-so's not here? I'll tell you why they're not here. Verse number 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I mean, at some point, when you and your boyfriend or you and your girlfriend and you and your family and you and your personal life insist on doing things that are preached against in the church you're attending, you're going to change churches.
Sure, right.
Now, the thing to do would be believe God and change your conduct.
Right.
So you don't have to change your church.
That's good.
Well, you know, I just want to have a good relationship with my kids. In a hog pen? How about stay home and wait for them to come back? Why follow them out into riotous living and then nobody's got an anchor anywhere? All right. So look at verse number 6. This is the blessing part. There's a blessing part here. You know, a happy part. Because I'm a happy guy. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day. And verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. This is what's so great. Those numbers the missionary put up there about all those lost people in Europe, all those Christ rejectors in Europe. Do you know something? Any one of those millions of people in the midst of all that apostasy and false religion, if any one of them called on the Lord for salvation today, he'd save their souls. Despite the fact that so many have provoked him, he is still has his ear open and listening for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And as we looked from the Red Sea to the Jordan River, and we see all this wandering and stagnation and carcasses falling because of unbelief amongst those who are saved. Did you know that anywhere on this earth, if God looks down and sees a man, a woman, a family, a little tiny congregation, a preacher somewhere that wants to enter into rest, you know what God says? It remains. It's still there. You want it? It's still there. It's still there. That's what's so great. I've got all those biographies back there in the library, and you read these books about John Payton and Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, and all these people you haven't even heard of, and you read those stories, and I always try to close that book and say, God can still do that today for me. I'm glad the door that says rest isn't closed. Despite all the people that don't want to enter in, it's still open. It still remains. Isn't that a blessing? Lord, you know, way back there in Abraham's time, yeah, goes farther back than that. I rested back there in Genesis and offered it to Adam, and he didn't want it. Offered it to his wife, but she preferred an education. You should be as gods. You should know evil. Lord said, how about just rest with me here? This would be pretty good. I live with you and you live with me, and there's no sin and everything you need is provided. We just have a great time together. No, we think we're missing out on something. Then all those years later, God leads those children of Israel out of Egypt. They've been there 430 years. You know what I don't read about from, I don't know, Genesis 47, 48, when they went down there, Exodus 12 when they came out? I don't read about one prayer meeting where the people said, God, get us out of here. As bad as it was, they're just kind of content to stay there. The Lord comes along with signs and wonders and miracles, and Moses virtually has to drag them to put lamb's blood in those buckets and put it on the doorposts. And they get out there in that wilderness, and Lord, there it is. There it is. You want it? No. No, seriously. We just got to go up there and take it. That's all right. Giants there. It's walled cities there. We heard they reach all the way up to heaven. And you believe that? You want people to believe what they want to believe. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, we saw giants. We can whip them. We saw walled cities. They're not that high. And God just wrecked Pharaoh. He can wreck Jericho over there. What's the problem? And so who went in? The two men that heard the preaching and believed it. Who didn't go in? Everybody else. But when those waters parted, Joshua went in. You know, because God's willing to give you rest. And then children of Israel get in the promised land. They won't take all of it. 2.5 tribes want to go back off somewhere else. They don't even want to live there. And Midianites and Philistines and all that junk you read about. And then God comes to David and says, write a song. Okay, I'll give you a song. And David starts writing down worship verse 1, worship verse 2, worship verse 3, worship verse 4, worship verse 5, middle of verse number 6. When are you going to get right?
Yeah.
Why don't you come get this rest I've been waiting to give you? And then they fall apart, you know, and go into captivity in Chaldean, captivity in Babylon. They come back from Babylon and half-hearted, sort of a mess. And God finally, days of Malachi, says, I've had enough. He doesn't speak to them for 400 years and decides, well, let me give it one more shot.
Amen.
John the Baptist prepares the way. The Messiah comes, shows himself to be God, manifests the Savior of the world. You know what they say? Kill him. We want the vineyard. We don't want the Lord of the vineyard. We want the grapes. We don't want to honor him with our service. Crucify him. Get him out of here. Isn't that incredible? Now, if you were God and people had provoked you to wrath like that, wouldn't that be about the end of it? And they crucify Jesus Christ with spit and blood running down his face. And he rises from the dead.
Yeah.
And within a few short weeks, he says to a group of believers, a little group of believers in an upper room, go out there and tell them there's a rest remaining if they want it.
Amen.
Go tell them, if they'd like my blessing, I'm willing to give it to them.
Yeah.
What a God.
Yeah.
What a God. All those years I wasn't saved. And the Lord wasn't happy about it. But the day I was ready to get saved, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out.
Yeah.
And since I've been saved, up and down and forwards and backwards and doing right one day and wrong 3 days, and any time in my life I wanted peace in my heart and rest in my mind and victory in my life, the Lord said, you want it? Sure. There remaineth. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there. Despite all that we have done to offend and provoke and disappoint and grieve God, whenever you want it, it's there. Praise the Lord. You know, there's people here tonight in their early 20s and coming up on 30s, and you could just stay right where you are and live for the Lord and never make a mess out of things. But there's people here tonight that wasted their 20s and their 30s and their 40s. And isn't it an amazing thing? After all that was done between that teenage salvation and that yielding to the allure to go out there in that world, isn't it amazing that when God broke your heart at 45 or 50 or 55, that same Lord said, there remaineth a rest.
Amen.
You want it? We can do well from here on out. No point in wandering around this wilderness any longer. Let's go on across Jordan, getting this Canaan land. Going around this mountain long. What a merciful God. And people don't understand that God can have wrath, be provoked to such anger. But it's not motivated by hatred. It's motivated by love. And it's not motivated by a desire to harm. It's motivated by disappointment because of a desire to help. If I was struggling with a sin tonight, I would do what Hebrews 4 says, and I would come to my great high priest. And if I was losing interest tonight, losing zeal and losing enthusiasm, and you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your life. There was a time when you couldn't keep from reading the Bible. And now you can take it or leave it. Why are you going to just wander around in a desert? Come to the Lord and get some rest. trouble in my mind. I'm stirred up in my heart. I'm emotionally unstable. I'm short-tempered. Yeah? Why? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. It's great to have a place we can come to and hear the word. But if it's not mixed with faith, when we hear it, it profits us nothing. I don't want to render the word of God unprofitable. I want to see what it can do in my life. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, help us this evening not to become ritualistic like the high churches, go through the motions of our services week after week. God, help us when we hear the word to mix faith with what we've heard and let you bring us into victorious living. Please, please, Lord. Canaan land, not wilderness. Help us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name.